The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on January 15, 2007, in Taviyuni, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yoga yukto vishudhatma vichatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api nalipyate. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna. Just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree, he knows very well that by pouring water on the root of a tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches, or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because, as has already been explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually, as the soul cannot be slain. So spiritually, no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reactions of work. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale. Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This is an amazing description of a person who possesses the greatest opulence, which is Krishna consciousness. He's pure, he works in devotion, he controls his mind and senses. He's dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. If you love everyone, sincerely love everyone in the whole world, do you think they would feel something different towards you than they would to somebody that hates them? If I love you, wouldn't you be more inclined to love me than if I hated you, you see? So a Krishna conscious person, he genuinely loves everyone and everything because he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. He doesn't just see the devotees. I love the devotees and I hate the non-devotees. No. Dira dira janapriyo priyakaro. Nirmatsaro Pujito, the six Goswamis, we're dear both to the gentle and to the ruffians, the Dira and the Adira. They were dear to everyone. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. He truly loves everyone. Even Lord Jesus Christ, he was being crucified. He was nailed on the cross in a horrible suffering condition. What was he doing? He was praying to Krishna, to his Father. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He truly loved those people who were killing him, you see. Or trying to kill him. So this is Vaishnava. Everyone is dear to him, and such a personality is loved by everyone. It would take a pretty, pretty hardcore demon not to love a pure devotee of Krishna. Only very rare, but any innocent person at least will naturally love the devotee because the devotee loves him. Such a person, although he's working, he's never entangled. It's like I was asked earlier, well, can we farmers farm on Ekadasi? Perhaps we will be entangled if we do some farming work on Ekadasi. Karmically entangled. No. If the fruit of your work is being offered to Krishna, then you're never entangled in any situation. Another nice point of Prabhupada is that because his mind is controlled, his senses are controlled. How does that work? Do you know the Vedic psychology? You're training and you're the Brahmin class, the Vaishnava means Brahmin class. Even though you're working as farmer, Vaishya externally, but you're also a Brahmin class because you're a Vaishnava. So you must be learned also. So do you know what is the Vedic psychology? You know that Vedic psychology? Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. These are the four stages. If you think something, you keep thinking about it long enough, then you'll start to feel like doing it. You see? And if you feel like doing something long enough, then you'll make the decision, I'm going to do it. And then if you make the decision that I'm going to do it, then you will in fact do it. You see? Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. It all begins from thinking. So we have to be very careful how we think. If we allow our mind to think some rubbish thought of sense gratification, what happens? If you think long, if you think enough about it enough, you'll start to feel like doing it. If you feel like doing it long enough, you'll make the decision, yes, I will do it. And then you'll find the opportunity and you'll do it. Some sinful activity, you see. So, a devotee never allows his mind to contemplate any sinful activity. The mind starts to think some sinful thing, immediately, stop it. You see, what is the program given by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura? You know that program. 100 times in the morning? Yes. In the morning, you take your shoes and you beat your mind 100 times. You see. In the evening, before you go to sleep, give your shoes a rest and go to the broom closet now and get one thick broom and again beat the mind 100 times. The point is, you have to show the mind who is boss. The mind should not be allowed to run wild here and there, dancing from one sense object to another sense object to another sense object. Bring that mind that is, you be the master of your mind, you see. Don't be the slave of your mind. You must become the master of your mind. That is yogi. Yogi means he has mastered his mind. So the result is, if your mind is mastered, then your senses are automatically mastered. Do you think that the Goswami position is only for the sannyasis? That I am family, I am grihastha, so I don't have to control my senses? There are two positions. There is Goswami and there is Godas. Goswami means master of the senses. Godas means servant of the senses. So we're either one or the other. You can't be in the middle. If you're not a Goswami, you're a Godas. So everyone is meant to be Goswami. You are meant to be a Goswami. You see. You ladies, you are meant to be Goswamis. Goswaminis. You see. Everyone is meant to be Goswami, not just the saffron men, brahmacharis and sannyasis. Everyone is meant to be Goswami. That is Krishna consciousness. You see. The mind is fixed 24 hours in Krishna consciousness. You're reading a wonderful term. The other night in Suva, giving a lecture there, we were hearing this wonderful description, submerged in Krishna. That's a wonderful thing. Just like you may go down to the ocean and submerge yourself in the Pacific for a cooling, refreshing dip, you see. So there is an ocean of Krishna. The nectar of devotion is an ocean of bliss. You see? Can you taste the nectar? Simply dive into that ocean of Krishna consciousness. There are many ways you can dip into that sweet nectarian ocean. The predominant means is the name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram. And there are so many other ways. There is Bhagavad Gita, there is Srimad Bhagavatam, There is the beautiful Arti ceremony. There are the wonderful Vaishnavas. There is the Guru Maharaj. You see, there are so many. There are our service that we have, our devotional services. There are so many nice ways. There is our tilak, our dhoti, saris. These also help us to remember Krishna, to dive into that ocean. So we should take every possible available means of diving into that, driving to, if necessary, and diving into that sweet nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. What is the result? Do you know the result? If you dive into that ocean of Krishna bhakti, do you know the result? In this material world, what is the position? Birth, death, old age and disease, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. But if you come to Krishna consciousness, no more birth, no more death, no more old age, no more disease. When we are young, it doesn't seem such a big deal. We think we can enjoy, you see. But as the body gets older, it becomes painfully obvious more and more that this place stinks. It's a miserable place, the material world. Even Tavayuni, it's a miserable place. Because it's a place of birth, death, old age, and disease. Compared to other places, it seems, you come as a visitor, it seems like you're in heaven. So much natural beauty, fresh air, and everything's so sattvic, you see. But actually, if you really look at it carefully, this is a miserable place too. Because it's a place of birth, death, old age, and disease. So in any position, in any situation, whether you're in Tavayuni, whether you're in Antarctica, wherever you may be, simply take shelter of this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, and your life will be sublime. That's a fact. You don't have to travel anywhere. Wherever you're living, you can chant these names and taste the sweetest pleasure at every minute. Brahma saukyam tvanantam. You know that verse? You are a learned pandit or not? No? Nayang deha deho bhajang naloke. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujang ye. Tapo divyang putrka yena sarvam shuryad yashmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. That great king of India, Maharaj Rishabhadev. Is he? He's actually an incarnation of God. You've heard of that, Maharaj Rishabhadev? He's a great king. You've heard Bharat. India we call Bharat. Named after that king, Bharat. So Bharat, he is the chief son of the 100 sons of Rishabhadev. Bharat is the chief son. So that Rishabhadev, he instructed Bharat and the other 99 sons in this way. That my dear boys, of all the species of life, this human life is very, very rare and very special thing. Do not throw away this human life running after sense gratification like dogs and hogs who eat stool. I've seen also the dogs eat stool. And I've seen the pigs eating stool. I've also seen the dog. When the mother dogs, puppies, pass stool, the mother will eat the stool, I've seen. Yes, when I was a little boy, we had one dog, and she gave birth to many puppies. And she would keep them clean by eating their stool. So the dogs also eat stool. You see. So, Rishabhadev advises, do not try to imitate the ways of the dogs and the hogs who eat stool. Instead, you should engage in tapa, austerity. For what? Divyam, to achieve the divine position, that transcendental position. What is that divine position? Do you know what is that divine position? Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Isn't that the divine position, the transcendental position? So he has instructed that you should do tapa. And what is that tapa? You rise early in the morning, you put on dhoti, sari, tilak, you chant japamala very nicely. This is tapa, austerity. You do austerity for the purpose of achieving the divine position, devotional service. And in that state, your consciousness will become purified, and when it is thus purified, then you will taste happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. Yesterday in Suva we were discussing what is actual happiness. And we looked it up in Prabhupada's teachings. How does Prabhupada define actual happiness? Actual happiness means no end. You see? Any happiness which comes to an end, that is not happiness. Just like someone may be enjoying an exotic vacation in the South Sea Island, you see, thinking, oh, I'm so happy. But they're thinking, well, soon this will end and I have to go back to the cold weather. Yet also, I've heard in Texas, I just received an email, one boy wanted to come to our Sunday program, but he said the weather was so bad he couldn't go out. So he missed the Sunday program. So the weather is nasty in the Northern Hemisphere right now. So one may think, well, I'm enjoying here this exotic South Sea vacation tonight, but then the thought, I have to go back to that hellish Northern Hemisphere climate in the winter. So that is not enjoyment, you see. Coming on a exotic South Sea vacation is actually not enjoyment because it comes to an end. That is not enjoyment. It's a shadow of enjoyment. It's not real enjoyment, you see. Real enjoyment is Krishna consciousness. That's the eternal South Sea Island vacation. Within your heart, you see, you connect with Krishna. That vacation never ends. And that's why Prabhupada could say that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than mangoes. And I have had that experience. The first time we went to Northern Europe, we went actually, I think it was February, wasn't it? Yes, in February we went to Finland. It was very cold and there was big snow everywhere, but it was ecstatic because we went there to preach. It was absolutely ecstatic. You see? So just like it's ecstatic to come here to Taviyuni, to be with you wonderful devotees, you see, so we can share Krishna consciousness with each other. It's so sweet and wonderful. It was also very sweet and wonderful to be in that cold Helsinki. They say sinking into hell. Hell sinking. Helsinki. But we were sinking into Vaikuntha in Helsinki. Because Krishna consciousness was the purpose. We read that tonight. One should not go in, a devotee will not go anywhere unless it's for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. He has no desire to travel anywhere unless it's for Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada described in the purport. Everything for Krishna, every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. That is called nectar. You see? If every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances is for Krishna, Shamsundar, that beautiful cowherd boy who plays, especially that fifth note on the flute is very beautiful. He plays the fifth note. You see? If everything is for that flute playing Murli, what is his name? Murli Vadaka? What is the name? Yeah. Murli Dhar, the one who lifts the flute. If everything is for that Murli Dhar, that flute lifter, you see, Krishna. If you do everything for him at every minute, then at every minute you will taste the sweetest, most sublime, most relishable, most nectarian, most juicy, incredibly, indescribably delicious nectar at every minute. You will taste the bliss with all of your senses, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your skin, everything will be tasting nectar, you see, if you absorb everything in Krishna's service. No materialist can enjoy like that. They don't know how to do. Krishna consciousness completely outclasses all varieties of material sense enjoyment. Completely outclasses it. Even the enjoyment of the demigods in heaven. You see? Who are drinking soma rasa, the divine elixir of the gods that gives longevity. It's a divine intoxicant that gives longevity and it gives increased intelligence. Soma rasa. Here in Fiji, they think by drinking grog, they become very happy. But by drinking grog, what happens? You become groggy. You dull-headed. That word grog, groggy, must come from grog. Because by drinking grog, you become very groggy. You see? But in the heavenly planets, they have a divine intoxication which doesn't make you groggy. It makes you more alert. But even that is nothing compared to the sublime nectar of Krishna consciousness. This is the, as Rupa Goswami describes, this is the final drug, the ultimate drug is Krishna consciousness. Back in the 60s, many boys and girls, and they're still doing, they're thinking to take some consciousness expanding drugs like LSD or peyote cactus to try to elevate their consciousness. But it's not necessary. That is simply artificial. The original pure enlightened state of consciousness is already there. We simply have to take Krishna consciousness and then that original pure enlightened state Satchidananda Vigraha becomes fully activated. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
This desire to enjoy the senses, the desire to enjoy the senses, escape from life after life. It remains there and it's still in the mind. It can That's develop right. any time. It can develop any time. So how can it be spoiled, sort of?
Spoiled? How can how can you get rid of that?
Yeah.
Yes. Ever since we fell into this material existence by being envious of the Lord, we have been desiring to try to be the enjoyer. So that desire to be the enjoyer has been going with us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime since time immemorial. You cannot calculate how long you have been trying to enjoy. That's why we are called Nitya Badha, eternally conditioned. Even though there was a time when we were not conditioned, you cannot calculate the time when we came here. We've been here so long, you cannot calculate the time we came here. So, in that sense, we are eternally conditioned. So how does one conquer over that tendency to want to be the enjoyer? Actually, Krishna consciousness does not mean that you stop being the enjoyer. Krishna consciousness means you learn the art of how to actually enjoy. So desire means you want to enjoy. So Krishna consciousness means susukam, actual enjoyment. You learn how to actually enjoy. You don't have to deny enjoyment, but you learn how to actually enjoy by serving the Supreme Enjoyer. By serving that Supreme Enjoyer, we enjoy on an equal level with God. Just imagine if you can enjoy on the same level as Krishna is enjoying. That'd be pretty high level enjoyment, wouldn't it? Do you think Krishna is frustrated with unsatisfied desires? No way. Whatever Krishna wants, Krishna gets. That is his position, supreme enjoyer. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. He is the enjoyer of everything. And he's the owner of everything. So Krishna's all desires are satisfied. So all you have to do to become fully satisfied and not be frustrated by unsatisfied desires, all you have to do is dovetail perfectly, 100%, 100%, dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna Consciousness, Krishna's consciousness. Instead of thinking, what will make me happy? Simply think, what will make Krishna happy? And do that. And because you are his part and parcel, just like when you feed your belly, are not all the parts of your body nourished? So if you will see to that Krishna is satisfied, then automatically you are satisfied. If you try, have you ever tried to enjoy separately? Has your hand ever tried to enjoy separately? If it does, will it be successful? I'm not going to feed the stomach. There's a story actually in the Vedas, an example given. One time the bodily parts, the parts of the body, they got tired of serving the stomach. So they formed a labor union. You see? And they went on strike. They said, don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. With great enthusiasm, they were chanting the mantra. They were marching up and down with the signs, refusing to feed the stomach, you see. But after 2 or 3 days of striking, they, for some strange reason, they were losing their energy. They were going, don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. I think we better call another meeting of the union. So they had their meeting and they said, you know what? If we don't feed the stomach, we're going to die. We're almost dead now. So I think we better feed the stomach. So you are the bodily part and Krishna is like the stomach. So if you satisfy Krishna, you will be satisfied. That's all. So don't try to satisfy yourself separately. Simply try to satisfy Krishna and then you'll become happy. Is that alright?
Sometimes you might have some illicit desires.
Yeah.
And they develop sometimes.
Yeah.
How can you avoid that developing?
Yeah, it's just like sometimes when they become lusty, you may think, I want sex. You see? Actually, of all the material desires, that is the heaviest one. He may become lusty. Oh, I want some sex. But one has to analyze it. You have to be a psychoanalyst and analyze, okay, what is this sex desire? It is simply the rubbing of the skin. Am I this skin? Does it actually, does sex enjoyment actually satisfy me? Actually, it doesn't. It's simply an illusion of satisfaction. So one has to scientifically analyze and realize I am not this skin. It is the pleasure of the skin rubbing that's on. So am I this skin? No, I'm not the skin. So it doesn't actually satisfy me. You see? So one has to, basically you have to be well learned in the philosophy and talk yourself out of it. That's what you have to do. You have to reason with your mind and say, my dear mind, I know right now you want some sex. But let me explain something to you, my dear mind. You're not that skin, it's not you. So why are you foolishly wanting, thinking that you can enjoy by the rubbing of the skin? You see? You have to know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And every time those desires come, then you have to explain to your mind why it's a stupid idea. It's asinine to think that one could be happy by sex pleasure. Has sex pleasure ever made anyone happy in this world? For more than 1 second? No. It's never made anyone happy. So in this way, you have to analyze all the different material desires that may come. And philosophically detach yourself. So, we'll stop here. I think we're having a class in the morning. So we thank you very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.